This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
In week two of Golden Bachelor, Teresa dominates at the diner. Nancy gets the first group date rose, and Leslie gets the whisper heard by no one around the world. Which of the Golden gals brought home the biggest plate of bacon? Plus, with several players on the move before the first Paradise Rose ceremony, who landed themselves in the sweetest spot? It's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Happy anniversary, Scott and Meribeth Wally. Happy birthday, Kimberly Mendelsohn. And for everybody else out there, welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Well, hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America. Happy anniversary, Scott.
And Meribeth.
Hello. And Meribeth. Hello, Daniele Duddy.
Hey, why'd you just forget Wally's mom's name?
Might have.
It's a little bit of a tricky. Yeah, it's spelled kind of tricky.
Can we spell it out right now?
It's Maribeth, all one word. Even some of her dearest friends think she's Mary Beth and have gotten it wrong her whole life.
I don't think anyone's been like a single word Maribeth since King Arthur had a court. It seems like an old-timey name. It's an old-timey name is what I'm saying. Hey, Daddy, how's it going?
Dude, it's going great after a week like that. How could it not be going good? Golden Bachelor, still going strong. We're 2 weeks in, but already I think it's the greatest thing that Bachelor's ever produced.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. I don't know if we're going to talk about it more later on Left Unsaid, but I just was today years old this hour that I realized that it's an hour long.
Right.
And I think it changed the game.
That's what was slipping past you up until now.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks, I was just like, man, these things move. But then you guys mentioned like, yeah, it's 55
yeah,
minutes. I was like, oh, yeah.
It's, you know, three hours.
You thought daylight savings happened at the end of the first episode.
Yeah. I've been living under a rock the last 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. We should have been doing this for 10 years.
Well, I guess that's something we can discuss on Left Unsaid.
You better believe it.
Yeah, and can't wait to talk about all the action from Golden Bachelor in Paradise. Before we do, big thank you to Evelyn. She's our newest patron over at patreon.com.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
What's that?
I said ring-a-ding-ding. I was doing a Frank Sinatra. Carry on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
God damn it.
Anyway. That's the kind of stuff that's brought Evelyn and so many others over to listen to our exclusive content where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. So that's patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. Also, for all of our listeners, we need your help. A little housekeeping issue here. The three of us were talking about how much Gary is killing it this season and how we're enjoying Golden Bachelor a lot more than we are Paradise so far. And we've thought about the fact that maybe other people out there feel the same way. And it looks like if you look at the national audience, Gary's pulling 4 million people per night. The Paradise folks are only getting half of that at 2 million. And we thought to ourselves, should we make this main feed exclusive to Golden Bachelor coverage and then push our Paradise coverage to our Patreon? So we're going to leave it up to you, the people. We've got a live Instagram poll going on right now. We'll abstain from voting, leave it all up to you, and let us know what you think. Help us decide. Are you thinking, oh, yeah, that'd be great. I want more Golden Bachelor coverage. I can save the Paradise coverage for Patreon. Or would we be making a huge mistake if we made it? Because it is a big pivot. We want to know what you think. So let us know on our Instagram poll at Bachelor's Own Pod. In the meantime, we're going to keep doing our hybrid episodes like we did last week and get right into the action with our headlines brought to you by the Bachelor Mansion Bunk Bed Suites. We'll leave the bathroom light on for you. So let's start with Golden Bachelor, where Teresa unsurprisingly got Gary's first one-on-one date of the season. And even though the headlights on their Corvette weren't working, just about everything else was clicking for Teresa as she danced her way to number one in the AP polls this week. But she wasn't the only player to score big time with Gary, as Nancy snagged the first group date rose of the season with the photo shoot date with friend of the show Franco LaCosta. And Gary whispered a sweet something to Leslie, lost in translation style. Or you might say it was the anti-Juan Pablo whispering to Claire a few seasons ago. Guys, which player's victory from week two do you think was the most significant? What was the biggest deal from Thursday night?
I think Teresa pulled far and away ahead. I do love what Leslie did. Here's the thing with her play. She didn't finish. Mm-hmm. There was like a deep, deep opportunity for smooch action, and she kind of passed on it. But it felt very clear that Gary was trying to go in for the smooch. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to connect on something like hearing aid to hearing aid action, what are you even doing? Mm.
Yeah, that was the one thing. I love Leslie a lot. Oh, sorry, Wally, go on ahead.
I was going to say, especially since he just said to her, how do you react to men who have only known you a short time and tell you you are a sexy woman? Like, that is the perfect lead into going to the smoochery. And if you can't convert that, mm-hmm. when can you?
Yeah, I was super hot on Leslie. I think Leslie is maybe now, sadly, that Natasha is gone, and I'll have a requiem for her later. She was my A number one, and now I think it's gone to Leslie in terms of my own personal taste and preference for who I want to see win this thing. When Leslie toasted to Social Security at the top of the show, I was like, that's a lady after my own heart. But then, yeah, that last little moment, like everything she was doing to handle the adversity she faced early on in that group date, to get that one-on-one time, to get in with both hearing aids, to hide those things behind her hair for an entire week and then bust them out when they really counted. And then to fumble that ball right there at the goal line, it really took the wind out of my sails on her.
Everything about it. Yeah, the execution, really, that really was a fumble at the goal line. Because even before the hearing aid thing, like the lava cake analogy, beautiful. I thought was spot on. Yeah. One, it perfectly encapsulated, you know, who she's, you know, warm, gooey on the inside, this nice, you know, delectable crust on the outside. And old people love lava cake. It was the perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And then, yes, like, where else is she going to get a smooch now? You know, I'm sure next week it's coming. And there's a part of me that thinks to myself, well, there is delayed gratification in a smooch that sometimes does pay off if you withstain, right? Like, if you abstain from it.
Mm-hmm. Withstain's a good word, too.
Withstain is, yeah, I'm going to patent that. But I don't think that's what's happening here. I think that was more just yips in action. I think that was more just being afraid to take the leap. And I feel like that's happening a lot, and that's going to probably be a spoiler for my mayor of Choketown. I feel like a lot of these women are not grabbing the ball by the horns.
Well, it might have been that she got the yips. It might have been that she's a strategic mastermind and calculated this, that she wants to build the anticipation. But regardless of which one it was, we see footage of her smooching Gary on one-on-one dates later in the season. So I feel like either way, the result is that it's going to make it even steamier once it does happen. So even if she had the yips in the moment, it didn't get the result that she wanted that moment, I think long-term it might pay off.
Yeah, could do. I think she's still, yeah, sitting pretty. Gary seems to like her a lot. I was going to say that Nancy also played well and pulled ahead, but I don't know if I'm comfortable saying that, because there's something that I noticed with Leslie and with Teresa that I didn't notice at all with Nancy, is that they don't have that like glint in their eye towards Gary. Gary seems to really be into her, you know, to a certain degree. I don't know how much of it is just sort of empathizing with her and having a similar story, but I just didn't see, I don't know about you guys. I'm curious to hear your takes. I didn't really see Nancy being super into Gary in the same way that Leslie and Teresa, especially Teresa. Teresa's super in love with the guy.
I think Nancy played a great game and she was deserving of that group date rose. But that date with Teresa, that was one of those where you're sitting there watching and you're like, wow, we are watching a classic right now. This is one of those where you think to yourself, this is your winner right here, because who else is possibly going to compete with this? I mean, You look at the first quarter, they kind of stumbled out of the gate. It wasn't their fault. It's just the Corvette lights weren't working. But she stayed calm. She turned lemons into lemonade, giving him the pat on the shoulder, comforting him. And he said how much that meant to him and how much more comfortable that made him as they moved on to the diner. And then in the second quarter on, she and Gary were both just in attack mode the entire time. And it was a pleasure to watch. Just right off the bat, the waitress comes over, one milkshake, two straws, one side order fries. Bam. I really like you. I think you really like me. Let's get to the good stuff. And it was just the way they were running the fast break was incredible to watch. And you look at the flip side, obviously we're going to talk about Paradise in our next headline, but compare Teresa and Gary's up-tempo, fast-paced first date to Kylie and Avon going on their first date where they're just kind of chilling on the yacht and like, oh, how are you? How's your day going? You having a good time on the date? Were you surprised that I was here? And I'm just watching this like, are you guys waiting for a crab and a seagull to sing at you to kiss each other? What the fuck is the holdup? What is taking you so long to get this thing going? And it shows you that to me is yet another example of how Golden Bachelor is everything that Paradise isn't right now. And how ironically, it's the older folks who are running the fast break masterfully, and it's the younger guys who are kind of sputtering.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk more about it later, but I it's insane whiplash every week now, going from this Golden Batch, you know, masterclass into this just sort of, I don't know, fuck around game of grab ass down on the beach.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I have a very conflicting, I love to see people working, right? Especially during the labor, you know, the hot labor summer we've had here. If you're not crossing a picket line and you're able to make a paycheck and get to work, I'm proud of you. That flash mob to Don't Stop Believing just didn't do it for me.
No.
I don't know what it was about it. I don't know what it
you
was about it.
In it,
irked the hell, it irked the hell out of me. Yeah. No, didn't like it one bit. I don't know what it was about it. Driving on the 101 without headlights, king shit. That was great. But once they got to the diner, I actually kind of cooled on the whole thing.
See,
go on, Duddy.
You know, I found the date dynamic to be very interesting because, yeah, I kind of loved the flash mob, but I don't know if they loved it. Right?
No.
I think that was the thing. I think Gary is like, oh my God, like, I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
I just want to chill out, you know, watch a movie, maybe like sip from a milkshake. Yeah. And you're having me dance with a bunch of people I don't know. And I have to act like I love it the whole time because I'm Gary and I can't ever have a negative emotion at all. It did seem like a maybe like not a fun way to have a senior date.
Yeah.
Inside the date, but it felt like a very memorable moment. It was very wholesome and sweet. I'm not going to lie. I did tear up a little bit.
Did you?
I did. Wow. I am a sheep easily manipulated by Golden Bachelor Media.
I found it very funny too that Gary said Don't Stop Believing twice and the song itself is playing on the jukebox. And Nancy goes like, oh, yeah, right. Like the song. Like, what? How does that song go again? It's like it's playing right now, Teresa. It's playing in the diner. She didn't pick up on what's going on at first.
Yeah, I'm curious. I would have been fascinated to be a fly in the wall for this date because just knowing like the inside baseball of how our choreographed piece of business like that goes on camera, they would have had to have the playback going fully, you know, not just like it wasn't a serendipitous moment where like the song plays on a jukebox and then they do it. Like they had to do like an actual playback machine where it was like 1, 2, 3, like click, 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 click. All right, here you guys go. Here comes Don't Stop Believing. You guys ready? Okay, here we go. Ready? On what, you know, like they had to have because it's choreographed. Like,
well, they also had to feed Gary those lines.
Yeah.
Like that's actually a little bit, when you look back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of moving. There was a lot of moving parts this date with that just that was a lot of ref fingers that I don't think they hit very well for me. Maybe that's what spoiled it for me.
The one thing that has not been fingered by the refs,
yep.
I do have to believe the car, right?
That also felt a little. Just pull over.
He seemed genuinely nervous.
He seemed genuinely nervous and scared. It seems crazy to me that the refs wouldn't just be like, oh, your headlights are messed up. We should pull over. Like the front van should just pull over.
I considered that the fix was in with the headlights, but then I was like, that's legitimately dangerous.
Yeah.
To do that on purpose, that's evil.
And he was in the far right lane the whole time, which I know is probably annoying for a lot of those folks. But like, yeah. I mean, they slowed down traffic. If it was a total just fix job, like it was just them trying to drum up some drama. I mean, they slowed down traffic on the 101 on a Friday night. That's no good. What are we doing here, folks? Come on.
That's why I couldn't make your show, Zach.
Yeah, yeah. The 101 East or South.
That's
listen.
Why I didn't make it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll talk about it later.
Well, driving and music supervision aside, I feel like Teresa, that date was the classic. And that could very well be the beginning of everything. And it, if she ends up being the champion, we'll say that that's the moment that that it all started, that kickstarted the whole thing.
Can I?
And as you guys said, Leslie not being able to stick the landing in the smoocheria, that left something to be desired. But her ISO set leading up to that, here's why I think that's actually the biggest deal that came out of Thursday night. Teresa entered this date number one in the widow conference. She remains there. She's the odds on favorite to win the widow pennant, so to speak. We know this. Going into Thursday night, though, Faith had the number one. She was the number one in the divorcee conference and the number one seed overall. And the multifaceted approach and dynamics that Leslie brought to that conversation, I think she just leapfrogged Faith in the divorcee conference. Faith still remains ahead of Leslie in the polls. But based on what we've seen so far, if you have to choose one of the two to build off right now, to build a franchise around, I think it's Leslie.
Yeah, I agree. Also, have we ever seen such a drop off from week one first impression to week two obscurity as we saw with this week with Faith? It was pretty mind blowing.
I mean, we definitely have. I think that is the thing with
that's
Bachelor,
a sophomore slump a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Bachelor first impression roses. And I do find it interesting that Faith, it doesn't matter your age, Faith reacted in the same way every other first impression rose winner who has that sophomore slump, or most other, I want to say, reacts. They start getting in their head.
Yeah.
You know, and they start losing they start losing faith.
Hey.
You know, and that's for Faith. She needs to get that out of, get that out of her mind.
Yeah.
Just, think about the next play. Think about going forward. But you cannot go, oh, man, you can't be thinking about the past and thinking about your plays from before and how they worked out and didn't work out. You just have to be focused on Gary.
Yeah, in the words of the great philosopher George Michael, you got to have faith, Faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was actually, I was going to pose this question on Left Unsaid, but I'm glad you guys brought it up, because with the first impression rose, curse is too strong of a word, but I think leads are getting wise to the fact that whoever I give the first impression rose to, the referees are not going to let me take that person on my first date of the season. Even if I kick and scream, they're probably not going to allow it.
Yeah.
So I think they're keeping the rose away from the person that they actually like the most and actually want to give the rose to. Colton actually admitted as much. He said on his opening night that he liked Cassie the most, and he purposely gave it to Hannah G so that he could have an early date with Cassie. And not only that, but the fact that we're also seeing that the first impression rose winner oftentimes just not getting invited on that first group date of the season. And then, like you said, DA, they're sitting there, they're stewing, they're not getting the playing time, and they're getting in their head.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Wally. I do wonder, see, Gary does not seem like he is, as much a fan of the game or student of the game as past bachelors, but he is a student of life and maybe has already figured that out. I will say this too. Faith did. We didn't really acknowledge it, but Faith got that rose. That was kind of like a birthday bump with that rose.
No, it was Teresa's birthday.
It was Teresa's birthday. Oh, never mind.
Yeah,
that's why we were kind of surprised Teresa didn't get it, since it seemed like the perfect birthday gift.
Oh, so I guess it even shows Teresa more. So I take that back then.
But it might fall into what we're talking about of like maybe he knew, maybe someone schooled him up a little bit. Maybe Jesse Plowman pulled him aside and he's like, "Hey, man, if you got a number one pick, like you need to maybe save it for week two, you know, especially if it's a lady with a birthday."
Yeah, that maybe.
I don't know.
No, that's totally possible. Either way, I am very impressed. Gary's been a savvy dealer. This does feel like what I love about the way the season is shaping out is it does feel like a skilled contest. It really does feel like the women who bring the most charm, the most class, the most grace, the most humility, the most compatibility are the ones who are doing well. And it's not just some sort of clout chasing or Instagramming or just, who's hot, who's not type of thing.
Yeah. And speaking of Gary, being a fantastic dealer thus far. I want to, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit more about his set with Nancy, because like we said, Nancy, she played a great game. Very good overall player. I would be really surprised if she surpasses Teresa, but why I think this part of the episode was really important, because I think this ISO set that Gary had with Nancy is going to be one of the crown jewels in Gary's legacy. I mean, first of all, just being heads up to pull Nancy aside, to realize that something's off, to pull her aside, have a one-on-one conversation with her, try to get her back on the right track. Then when she expressed this, just this heartbreaking sentiment about how she hasn't had a wedding dress on since her wedding day, and it was the best day of her life, and she misses her husband so much. And when Gary responded, he goes, "Oh, Nancy," that might've been the single sweetest second in BCU history. That was so sweet and so endearing. Yeah, and not only that, but to add on to that with this just beautiful, poignant anecdote about how after Gary's wife Tony passed away, how he was passing by a bakery and the smell of cinnamon hit him, and it reminded him of how Tony used to make cinnamon buns at Christmas. Just pulling out that story like that and bringing that to the table to help Nancy feel better about the whole thing, that makes all these "thank you for sharing that" chumps that we've had to deal with the past couple of years look even worse by comparison.
Yeah, it's really something how much these people are just more full people than anyone we've dealt with in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to all of them trying their best. They're all grown people trying their hardest. It's just there's something you get with experience, and especially someone like that who I think Gary's been Gary since the 70s, right? Like, I don't think that empathetic nature, he might have mellowed a bit over the years. You know, he might have had more of a hot temper in previous times when he was a manager of a restaurant, whatever. He strikes me as someone who's been empathetic since, you know, since Lyndon B. Johnson was president. And I think the right fact that he has that for years and years and years, it exudes out of him. I got a question for you guys while we're on this topic before we move on. With this new game and there's a lot of widow talk, obviously. There's a lot of dead husband talk this episode. I knew it was coming. We're going to have a lot more of it before this is over. Should we just never do the wedding? Should Big Bachelor never do any wedding-related stuff? Because it did feel a little cruel. To me, it felt crazy to have someone who, you know, some of these women had their husbands died like within the last 3 to 4 years. Like, and then they're having to do mock weddings. Like, that just seems crazy to me. I know they got something out of it this time with this, but I was like, at what cost? You know, it seemed unnecessary. Yeah. I know Nancy like wouldn't have had anything to go off of otherwise, but
yeah, though, that's the thing. That is an interesting question. Cause I guess I'd love to hear like Nancy's take on it and see if she was like, you know, if she would take the moment back or whatever, or, you know, personally objected to it. But, it, like you said, it did give her that opportunity to reach a very deep place. And I think that is significant. I think that goes just beyond drama, torture, porn. I think that if in a real way that allowed a connection between Gary and Nancy that I think could simulate a real relationship, which I think is when this show is at its best.
It's just all this widow stuff is really, it's getting tough. Like Joan's husband died 2 years ago, which is wild to me that she's even on the show. And that's not, if this was regular Batch, it would be like Michael, it'd be a huge narrative around that.
Right.
Right. But she's just one of many in that situation. It seems like, you know, she's the one that has the most fresh loss, but like it's wild how much that has become part of this game. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like having a past partner like that is almost like, you know, it's revolutionary kind of in a way that is, I don't know if they should be messed with. It's either going to be half of the game, like the forward pass, or it's something that should just not be allowed.
I don't know.
Be allowed to die. I mean, like the show shouldn't be able to really like harp on it.
It hasn't felt exploitative yet.
Okay. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Today got it. Last night got as close as I think. It got pretty close for me.
I didn't feel icky, but yeah, if you felt icky.
Icky poo-poo, a little bit.
You felt a little icky poo-poo about it? All right.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question.
Well, I'm curious how you guys are. Yeah.
It's an interesting question, Zach, because as you say, DA, it leads to this conversation that was so deep and beautiful, and those are the kind of conversations that can make this show great. And also going into it, I doubt any of the referees were twirling their mustaches and were thinking, oh, you know what would make some great TV? If we get the widows in the wedding dresses and then hopefully one of them will be triggered. But I don't think any of them were doing that. It certainly didn't feel like that to me. But if you look at the track record, you have Nancy being triggered by it. And regardless of age, when Tayshia had a wedding dress photo shoot with eventual winner Zach Clark, with Franco LaCosta taking the pictures, it also reminded her of her failed marriage. I forget if she was married and got divorced, or for the engagement was called. I forget what exactly it was, but she was triggered by it too. So the it's a tough call. I think the results are good, but at what cost?
I'll offer another thing about that too. The real reason they're doing it is because they want the fake out photo for, you know, showing someone in a wedding dress and then putting in the preview.
Yeah.
And then being,
it got me last week.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It got me bad.
It always does. It always gets you. But I do think that I want to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem, it's kind of, I don't want to not see Franco. We love Franco.
Friend of the show, Franco.
It was great to see him. Love to see him out on the field. He's a treasure. We don't need the wedding dresses, though. I like the photo shoot. I like the bodice ripper, you know, whatever photo shoot they're doing to start off with. But I don't know where the wedding dresses even came from, really. You know what? I'm realizing what it is that hit me now. And I'm just going to get this off my chest now before we, as we transition into Paradise Talk, is I think the thing that's getting me is the same thing we just said about Gary's empathy and just all the time they've had on the field over the years, that these emotions that we're seeing are real, like truly real. You know what I mean? Like that they're totally lived in a way that is like, completely, for instance, like watching Eliza, it hit me last night, watching Eliza crying about a guy that she's not actually dating, kiss another lady that he's also not dating a night before, and having like a just total kind of meltdown cry over it. Right after I watched the women describe like the slow death of her husband of 40 years, like just completely just puts it in stark contrast to like what we're dealing with and how much more serious these emotions that the people are having. And on that note, like having people who are, if they are feeling exploited, or if they are feeling, you know, taken advantage of because they've never been on television, and they're actually talking about some real ass shit like this, it feels like we're playing with fire to me. That's all it is.
Yeah, like when Eliza was crying over this nonsense on Paradise, you could practically see the referee off camera going like, "Oh, good, Eliza, give me more. And when Nancy was upset about looking back on her marriage and how happy she was on her wedding day, I doubt that there's any referee off camera going like, "Oh, that's good, Nancy. Yeah, play that up. Because they don't need to, because that's so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. A lot of this stuff is super real. I felt it during Gary and Teresa's date where he's like, "I'm really in love with this lady." I'm like, "No, you're not, Gary." Like, you know what I mean? Like they don't have the same shorthand that I think a lot of the younger competitors do. That they're used to the hyperbole of the show, and they're used to, we talk about it before, like people dropping L-bombs after a couple weeks, or like some of these people just don't have the life experience to like know if their emotions they're feeling are real or not, you know? Or that they act on them in a way that seems, you know, kind of flippant and whatever. But these, like, to see these older folks who have been through loss and have been through all these things have those same things, I don't know if it gives me hope or just makes me super sad and worried for them.
I feel like I'm seeing a different show a little bit than you guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talked earlier about a high octane offense, and I don't view it that way. I actually feel like This is ground and pound. This is 4 yards in a cloud of dust. I do feel like the emotions are real, the feelings are real, but when I think back on Kylie and Avon, Kylie's, and I don't think Kylie's lying about this. Mm-hmm. Kylie literally said in her ITM, "I want to marry this guy. Just lock it down." Mm-hmm. Like they had one ride on a boat where they talked about nothing.
Yeah.
All she had to go on was, "This guy's hot and I've wanted him so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get married. I hope he feels that way." Meanwhile, I feel like the Golden Bachelor contestants are very deliberate in their talking to Gary. I think that they are smitten. I feel like they, you know, they love, but I feel like they are proceeding cautiously, and there has not been a lot of smooch action.
No.
Even when it seems like he has gone for it. And even when they are, you know, forcing smooches, like you have some contestants who are a little bit more aggressive in the smoocheria. Like, I just pulled it up.
Susan, maybe? No.
Not Susan. Joan, for example,
yeah, sure,
went in for like with a great smooch. It was a deep cut. It was open
in
arms.
In her bunk bed.
In the room.
Yeah.
Right. A smooch like that.
Not easy to pull off.
In the regular Bachelor, right, in the bunk bed, we would be thinking, oh, is this, you know, or what else is going to happen here? But it was very just like, almost like face-to-face, like head-on,
yeah,
like how you'd picture your grandparents kiss, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't like, prepping. It wasn't foreplay.
Yeah, yeah, it was just like very like, I don't know, not so steamy, you know? It's like, so... I don't know. I think these ladies they're taking their time and they are hoping, I think they have had enough experience that they know the feelings of Kylie. They remember those feelings and they know that probably they're rooted in bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I worry because of their emotional intelligence and their foresight, they're good. Like they're actually playing the game for real.
Yeah.
And they might get hurt.
Yeah, they might get hurt.
Like,
I'm with you.
Like, it's actually genuine emotions we're dealing with now. You know, it's like we've been watching, you know, wrestling for years and years, and now we're watching the fucking, like, actual UFC, you know, where people can actually get fucking hurt and knocked out.
Well, I mean, let's talk, like, to me, the most...
wrestling's not dangerous, but you know what I mean.
There were so many powerful moments of this episode. One of my favorites was, it's week two. Mm-hmm. It's week two. And Gary is giving out roses, and he is crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
An emotional toll. They are playing for real. And one of the things I absolutely loved was when he came in and he said, you're all my friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have, you know, this is a connection now. I have to be a dick to my friends.
Yeah.
This is so awful. And I do think that... right now, the vibe I sense from the clubhouse is everyone's like, we are prepared to get hurt. This is going to be painful.
Right.
But we're all friends. We're all, you know, the cost of the love of the game and the cost of love is worth it. That's why you play.
Because the women's reactions to the elimination, it couldn't have been more gracious. It varied from... Gary's such a wonderful guy. He handled this so well. I wish nothing but the best for him. And he's such a good guy that he's given me hope. And by the way, we should have some chairs in there so we can rest a little. We shouldn't be standing the whole time.
Natasha's, like, God, what a...
That was the biggest complaint. Was that they just were a little tired standing there.
We have to have Golden Paradise just to get Natasha down to a beach.
Absolutely.
Like, to get her somewhere. She deserves... She's such a queen. Did you notice... I just want to bring this up now that we're on the subject of this rose ceremony and the graciousness of these ladies. There was L-bombs dropped in this rose ceremony when Natasha was on her way out. She said, love you, Gary. He said, love you too,
yes,
Natasha.
Yes, yeah.
I know it was probably a little bit more, platonic.
Yeah.
But... Hey, to me, it still counts. I'm putting it on the book for Natasha getting a week two L-bomb drop.
Yeah,
well, I do feel like they are much looser with the L-bombs because they don't have that built-in pace of the game, the vernacular. And I think that, it comes from this platonic place. And I love that. I think now that you bring that up, that progression has been a hindrance on the game.
Yeah.
Where you have to say, I'm falling in love with you, I'm feeling this. Just say your feelings. Yeah. Say your freaking feelings, and then let's play the game.
I'm possibly contemplating the thought of love with you. Yeah,
yeah.
I know what you mean. Wally, what were you saying? Sorry.
I was going to say that it's the fact that Gary is taking it so hard and it's only week two is also indicative of how wonderful a job scouting and recruiting did getting this roster together.
Yeah, that's
these
true.
These are already really difficult decisions for him. You can see it.
Yeah, 100%. That's true. We got to give Big Bachelor that. Like, Gary's we'll be talking about it all season, but he's a hell of a find.
He's got a lot of great contestants to choose from. The top six in the AP polls have come out. We have April at number six. And by the way, stat correction on our part, April was the first steal of the season in episode one, not Ellen, like we said last week. So we made
an honest
mistake there. So April, the first steal of the season, and she's still at number six. We've got Nancy at number five. Ellen is at number four. She got the framed picture from Gary at the end of the pool party, and she's going to be the one-on-one date next week. So she's got quietly has a lot of momentum going. Leslie's at three. Faith is at two. Teresa at one. And as a stray note, Marina quit, and nobody said why, but that was too bad because it seemed like she had a lot of potential.
Yeah, that's wild to me. I was going to bring that up to you guys. I couldn't find much on it when I was just doing some light digging before the show. Yeah,
that is a great thing to talk about. I kind of love it that they, not that she quit.
No,
even, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons to leave.
Private something, and she's like, I'm going to keep it private. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
It's week two. We don't have to dwell on this. It's a shame because she was beautiful.
She was awesome.
And a great talent. And
honestly,
it's sad to see her go.
Honestly, she probably just saw the bunk beds and was like, nope.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got to say, too, just on talk of the overall Golden before we move on to Paradise, is I love that behind the scenes stuff. Because it gets talked about when we talk to women who've been in the house and have stayed over, like how tight the quarters are and how it's really, really kind of, it's not glamorous at all. Seeing those older ladies in there just be like, no, I'm not doing this. Like that look of just like, oh my God, like that was really interesting. I like the way they opened the episode with that. That was fun.
Yeah, and like scheduling out who gets the bathroom at what time. And yeah, that's wonderful.
It's also wild.
Action.
We don't have to dig into it too much. We can talk about it more later, but like, the clubhouse camaraderie is already off the charts. Like, it's pretty crazy. Even like Susan getting Teresa ready for a one-on-one with the hairstyle where she shut her down saying like, let me do my job kind of thing.
My absolute favorite moment maybe of the episode. Yeah. That was
Susan doing Teresa's hair.
Doing her hair, and Teresa tried to give her a note. And she's like, I'm a hairstylist. Don't shut the fuck up. Like,
also,
she just shut her down.
Incredible defensive play. Yeah. I didn't think about the bunk bed thing, but I guess savvy move by Sandra to, you know, claim bottom bunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, use the bathroom card as a, you know, I need quick access to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are, you know, it's all kumbaya in this clubhouse, but that is a huge strategic advantage for getting ready for rose ceremonies, for makeup access, for just always looking fresh pre-date.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see any more of that angling. They probably won't show us that, but I bet that is something in the regular game that is absolutely fought upon like tooth and nail.
Did you hear about during the thing? Oh, sorry, Wally, go for it.
I was just gonna say that Faith and Teresa, number one and two in the AP polls respectively, were in the same room, and Faith dove head first into the last solo bed like she was sliding into home plate, leaving Teresa with only a bunk bed at her disposal.
Yeah, there's lots of moves like that. Also, I think it might have even been Sandra, too. When they were on the group date and they were getting into their costumes, they said, remember, no running. Someone set up a no running rule, and I'm assuming it's the person with knee problems. You know? Like, it's happening. They said it not like no running as in, like, I'm telling you not to run. They're like, remember, they told us not to run. They made a rule because some of us can't run.
So definitely, like, you know, again, as much kumbaya is going on, these women are out competing.
Yeah.
They are playing the game, and they are looking to get every advantage they can possibly find.
Yeah. I just want to mark now the time. We're like 38 minutes into this episode, and I could talk about Golden Bachelor for another hour.
And
for our later discussion about whether or not to change our format for this season.
Yeah. But for the sake of time, let's move on to Paradise, where Avon's arrival and Hannah Brown's burning questions via surprise cameo appearance led to a big shift in the free agency market down there. You had Avon moving on with Kylie, Aaron B shifting over to Eliza, and then Mercedes and Will coming together after they got left behind. In the biggest surprise of the night, Pilot Pete gave his swing rose to Olivia. About half the field stood pat. You had Rachel staying with Sean, Blake with Jess, Aaron S with Sam, and Kat for the moment is going to stick with Brayden. Guys, out of all these shifts in Paradise or the standing pat, who do you think pulled off the savviest move out of all the players?
You ever see like
it's a little tough to choose a good one, right?
You ever see like in Pop Warner where a ball gets fumbled and the kids don't really know what to do with it because they're so excited? That's kind of what happened just
one
now.
One kid just runs
Daddy.
Into the goalpost.
Yeah. Me and Daddy are both looking at the same ball.
Because I have criticisms for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone right now is in a power position. You know what? All right, I'll give you this. Aaron B and Eliza, I think that is a move that was at first navigated poorly and then seemed to recover and feels like a comfortable position for both of them for now. I think that was a good shift.
Yeah.
Coming into next week.
You guys are going to laugh at me because of what I said last week and how high on the hog I was for our boy Braden after his nautical mishap. I think he's maybe one of the best Paradise players we've seen in a long time.
Honestly, I agree.
Because of how he's handled this first week and how to get that first, like, he has done everything you need to do in order to lock it down. Now, we know because of the previews and whatnot, it looks like there's going to be trouble in Paradise next week. But he did everything in his part, and especially with this bonfire situation, which we'll talk about, this Hannah B switcheroo into bonfire survivor mode, whatever we want to call it. That bonfire was like a Venus flytrap set up to catch the stupidest flies on planet Earth.
Right.
Like, it was such an easy move to not fuck that up, and almost everyone did except for Braden.
Braden,
yes, when he was just asked to, like, hey, don't incriminate yourself. Go. And then he just didn't incriminate himself. Like, he was just like, yeah, I'm my goal is set on the person who I'm with right now, who I'm going to give a rose to. That's, like, such an easy thing to say. And you don't have to say, like, it's implied that you're in paradise. Things can change. You don't have to say, but I'm also thinking about getting with this person. I'm here for this person, like, in front of the person. You like, what are we doing here? And he was the one guy who was able to get through that fire unscathed. And the fact that he pulled that off, and then the beautiful, like, calmness he had in the rose, like, everything about his game freakishly is almost perfect in that way. And I thought, like, if he was with anyone else, he could just skate to the end of the, you know. I feel bad for him choosing who he chose because of what is ostensibly probably going to happen with it, but, like, his side of the game, perfect in
that's
every way.
That's a fantastic point, because when you have guys like Blake, this total bozos at this bonfire, who say, I don't want to ruin what I have at the moment, but maybe I want to ruin it later. Like, you have guys literally saying that, compared to Braden, who says, no, you know what? I love this matchup that I have right now, and I'm going to keep running. It's all going well. We're both executing well. We're on the same page, and I'm going to keep going with it. And that's, if you like the matchup you're in, that's exactly what you should be doing. Cat is an extremely volatile player, which is why it's probably going to blow up. Also, as the kids say, I think after the bonfire, Braden kind of simped on her a little bit too hard. But up until that point, I thought he was making all the right moves.
Yeah.
I think he's someone that, I don't know if he was coached up, but definitely he's a talent that if he got further coached up, I think he has a potential. He is young. He has a potential to be an all-timer.
It's crazy we're saying this, but yeah.
No, yeah. I fully mean it. I think his issue, he is like a Terrell Owens. You know, it is just the only thing holding him back is ego. And, you know, if he, with age, I think T.O. came over that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that with age, Braden might too. So.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out of this MVP if he doesn't get stabbed in the back in the coming weeks. You know, like, in terms of just if he can get. If he can survive this Cat situation and he can get himself on someone else, because he's a hot commodity still.
Yeah,
if he can
will.
Get with anybody.
I really think he will. That's my prediction.
Yeah, it's just the numbers thing. If he just happens to get left out of the musical chairs at the end of one of these women's weeks, you know, I could see that going wrong for him. But other than that, I highly doubt anyone coming down the stairs who's fresh to the beach, who just wants to give out, like, a random, you know, just an arbitrary, let me keep someone alive rose, wouldn't give it to him. You know, as long as he keeps his nose out of drama and stays clean with everything. I don't see him not being successful. It's wild to me that I'm saying all this.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly elevated his game from charity season. I continue to believe that the size of his ego is more powerful than the improvements that he's made. I think ultimately his ego will be his demise because it is just so huge. For the time being, though, you get no complaints with Braden. His approach has been great, executing well. Let me give you guys another one. I loved the game that Mercedes played last night because she lost out on the Aaron B sweepstakes. And honestly, Aaron B kind of did her dirty. He pulled the same thing that Zach Shallcross pulled in the fantasy suites last year. That nonsense when he's like, let me be honest and transparent with the woman that I want to sleep with, but the woman whose feelings I actually hurt, fuck her. I don't really have to tell her anything. That's right. The approach that he had, and it was bullshit. And Mercedes could have moped about how that went and losing out on that, And instead, she kept her eyes open and she surveyed the field and she said, OK, who else is losing out on the sweepstakes right now? And that's when she found the matchup with Will, her fellow sweepstakes loser. And she pounced on it perfectly and said things, comforted him and got him right into her arms. And now she's not only was there someone to commiserate with and build momentum with. That was one of two loose roses that were available. And she snatched it the moment it was available.
She was like a spider weaving a web, and he looked like a truly little fly caught in it. It was just cuddled up to her weeping.
I put my first note that I had for last night's I watched them last night again, and I said at minute 4:13 of this episode, I'm putting Will down as my marriage choke down because of how simpy he came across the entire episode. And at the end of it there, I've never seen someone so in the claws of someone else. Like just but she could do no wrong at the end of that episode right there, just giving him like a little bit of love. And I'm blown away the other ladies weren't able to execute in that way.
Will's saga feels less like sports and more like a tragic play right
now.
Yeah,
it's a bummer.
I was going to say, it feels like a Coen Brothers movie where he's just like, what did I learn from that? Nothing? Okay, on to the next thing.
Great. Yeah. Be William H. Macy in this one. Yeah, he's just a real sad boy, and it's wild. I'll talk about it more later. But you know who else I think on the same token is Olivia, who got that other spare rose, is someone who just came in hot. You know what I thought about last night while I was watching her? I was like, this is Dan Duddy's three H's put to the T. Like, she had three H's going hard. That's how she was able to get that rose from Pilot PD, because she, I think the other ladies, you know, had time with him, talked to him, but none of them brought the horny factor in the way that Olivia did. To the point that when she got the rose, she's like, you know, I know you got the short end of the stick, but I'm going to change that. Like, it was so horned up, their rose ceremony exchange, that I'm like, oh, she definitely was just doing that the whole time, talking about sucking toes and whatnot.
I thought that was ref interference, but I can totally see that was her bringing the horniness. And you know what? I do love Olivia's game. And what's interesting about Olivia, I love Olivia as a player because she is someone who right now is down and out. You know, she keeps getting burned by Kylie, but her eyes are on the prize. Yeah. Vengeance burns bright in her heart. And she's a dog chasing after it.
Yeah.
And yes, she secured that rose, and now the tables have turned, and the women have the roses, and the women have power, and she is going to find a way to wield that power in her favor. She is a survivor, and I just love the way she plays the game.
She's like Robert Moses with body glitter.
Yes.
You know, she's a power broker.
And Olivia, not only was she embodying the three H's to a T, but she was bringing in that fourth H, too, of humor, and this is where I think ref interference plays a part in the game in a way that I don't mind, because Pilot Pete, he's not a good player. He had nothing going. It's a shame that so many people's fate came down to him. And so you have up in the air, there's Brooklyn, Kat, Greer, and Olivia. And I imagine that Peter goes to the referees and says, I don't really have a ton going with any of them. I guarantee you the referees say, well, you know who you're going to go with then? You're going to go with the woman who initiated toe sucking and gives us wonderful sound bites when she talks to the media. Mm-hmm. And that's Olivia.
I would even go so far as to say, my guess is that conversation went, Peter goes, you know, I really want to hook up with Brooklyn, but she doesn't seem that into me. And they go, yeah, she's not. You're going with Olivia.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cut out the middleman.
Yeah. I really feel like, because I think that's two things. It's like, one, a testament to Olivia's talent, but also I do think Peter played the game so badly, definitely as a case for Mayor of Choketown, that yes, he got the rose by, you know, rules of the game, but I think that was forced upon him. And I do think he probably abdicated his choice by playing so badly.
Yeah. Right. I got a question for you guys, and we might even touch on it later, but do you think Peter survives next week?
God, no.
Yeah.
Brad, we got a plane crash coming up.
All right, good.
100%.
Just curious.
God, no. I think he's detestable.
Yeah.
But here's someone else I don't think, I think survives next week because she has to, but I don't think she survives week three. Say it with me.
Week four, you mean?
Week four, week three. Week four. Doesn't matter. Doesn't survive. The rose is going back to the men. Do you know who I'm talking about? Rachel.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking you were going with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like she's Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I feel like she started off, you know, with Clayton, and you think this is this MVP candidate. This is number two overall pick. And, you know, they're already playing incredibly. And then she gets burned. And all of a sudden, she looks just so bad at everything out there.
Mm.
She barely has a discount Barbie doll or Ken doll mm-hmm. on her. He's already making eyes at other women. She was a former bachelorette.
Yeah, it's wild.
And she does not. He disrespects her and goes, "Oh well, you know, I have eyes for other women out here." And she's like, "Oh yeah, totally. I don't care."
I think I agree with you in 99% of the ways. I think her stock is higher than you're giving it credit for. Once Sean, discount Barbie, Ken doll, whatever, gets excommunicated for whatever reason. Once she gets the rose and it's in her hand, I think she's still top three of this group of women. Like, I think she kind of has her pick of the litter just on the sheer fact of her star power. I thought it was almost a slight to her when they were talking about when Hannah Brown came down and they were talking about oh man, we're going to have multiple bachelorettes and everything. And then they're like, no, Hannah's like a real bachelorette.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was the energy I got.
But what shocked me is that Rachel played into that. She was right there along with them. Like, oh my God, 100%. Hannah Brown's here. What that should have felt like was two former Masters winners wearing their green jackets together and drinking beers in the lounge to get talking about their past victories. It didn't feel like that at all. It felt like a fan running up to Elvis asking for an autograph.
Yeah, no Arnold Palmers were given at all. It's a matter of of it is that. It's like, don't fan out on someone when you're also famous, because it makes you not famous immediately.
When you're also a former lead who, honestly, statistically, had a better run as the lead than Hannah Brown did.
Am I crazy? Hannah Brown's not an icon.
No, like, you are crazy.
When they came in, the way they were talking about her was like as if her season had aired in the 90s and she had cured some kind of disease.
You're
like
crazy.
They were on. I like Hannah Brown as much as the next guy. She's not a Hall of Famer. Like
she
the way
is
they
a
were
Hall
treating
of Famer.
Her. Yeah.
What
okay.
Yes.
All
yes.
Right.
Yes.
All right. I mean, I enjoyed her season. It's fine, but it was like it wasn't that long ago.
Yes, she won. She won like the triple. She won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
She, you know, had an incredible season on Bachelorette. She has been on multiple other seasons. She was on Peter's season. They trot her out all the time.
Yeah.
She is up there. She is, I think right now, a Mount Rushmore Bachelorette.
See, she kind of reminds me of like a Tony Romo, where the playing career was a little bit of a disappointment, but now you're like, wow, he's a hell of a commentator, and he's doing Subway commercials, and he's got a lot of endorsements. Like, it's all going really well now. And
I can get on that. I can get on that more. The way they were acting was like she changed the game forever. Like, I don't see that at all. Like, her gameplay, that's what I'm talking about. As a player,
she was
fine.
I thought she just had a bad, like, straight up had a bad season when she was the Bachelorette.
Right? Am I crazy?
I mean, I disagree with you guys. I don't think you're crazy in that way, but
it was in 2019, 2020, and then these girls, I think it was Kat was like, I remember when I was a little girl watching Hannah be on the field. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is fucking right before COVID had started in Wuhan. Like, the fuck are you saying?
In terms of the power rankings, right? In terms of looking at, if you could give every contestant in all of Bachelor Nation a number.
Sure.
Hannah Brown is, in terms of Instagram numbers, mm-hmm. in terms of fame, mm-hmm. she is top five at worst. At worst. So, and when they look at Instagram followers, that is what they...
Okay.
And that's what they are paying respect to a great.
And she does have iconic moments, too. Like when Luke P. tried to crash the rose ceremony and she literally moved the pedestal. Like that was an incredible moment. And she does have moments like that to her name.
No, she's good.
But
she's
the stats themselves, though, are not even close to the amount of just
praise. But look at the gram.
The gram is crazy. It felt hyperbolic to me is all. That's all.
No,
It felt like some ref pushing.
I would have been pissed. Like, I was pissed that Hannah Brown was walking out on the beach. I was relieved when she was like, oh, actually, I'm wifed up. It's fine. Yeah. I'm not for you guys.
You like
and I
that?
Thought, yes. And I thought it was such a... Because, they were right.
Huge waste Hannah of time, Brown, but I was relieved, too.
Hannah Brown next to Rachel, no contest. no contest in terms of like, if you're just purely looking at who you want for your to match up with for your career, Hannah Brown, you know, and like they all of the women correctly assessed, I am fucked if my guy has to choose between me and Hannah Brown.
That flabbergasted me. To me, I don't feel that at all.
I felt it. I don't know.
Yeah, and actually, I want to talk about that more in Mayor at Choketown, because I did pick up on that. It's a little bit, it's more than a little bit pathetic.
Yeah. But it's the truth of the game. I agree that you shouldn't go. You should be fighting, like you shouldn't like just, you know, go belly up. But that is the level of, that was the power imbalance. I mean, she was pulling two guys at once, and no one batted an eye. It was such an alpha move.
Yeah. I think if Hannah Brown's actually on the beach, though, she's not bringing that energy. If she knows that she's not doing that switcheroo and she actually has to compete and get a rose and stick around longer than Rachel, she doesn't come with that much confidence. I don't think she's that good of a competitor. I'm sorry.
As I was watching her on Thursday night, though, the way that she was playing with such confidence.
It was fun.
And just using her clout to knock people around. I thought to myself, if she is staying, the rest of them are in trouble. She's not staying, but there are a lot of prime competitors coming down the stairs, a lot of moving parts. And you're probably thinking to yourself, with all these changes in motion, who should I trust for my fantasy roster? I've got five spots. Who should I be plugging in there? Well, as always, we've got your back. Here's the talented Mr. Rosé Max Singer with your Fantasy Minute.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those hot takes and inside scoop that you're gonna need. So Max Singer, who do you like this week in fantasy to see?
If figuring out how to set your lineup has you sweating like Braden at the Rose Ceremony, then you've come to the right place. Welcome back to the Fantasy Minute. Let's dive in. I love Cat with a K. Cat Izzo looks like one to watch based on the previews for future episodes. Anyone tied to Braden is going to be involved in some drama. And as we all know, drama equals screen time, and screen time equals more potential for points in your lineup. Play the percentages. Play Cat. I hate Pete. The Spirit Airlines of Pilot Pete's on this franchise, version 2 can't even keep his airline puns and metaphors straight in confessionals. There is no way his rose to Olivia is reciprocated next week, and I have a feeling this flight will be grounded pretty soon. And finally, I love Rachel. Yes, this is a bit of a dart throw, and you're probably looking at her performances the last 2 weeks thinking I'm crazy, but big-time players will eventually come through, and I think the arrival of some new men this week is that spark that kicks Rachel up a notch in your lineup. I have watched her drink just champagne in the pool for 2 weeks straight. Her time is coming. So remember to set your lineup on the Batch Live app, and as always, I'm the talented Mr. Rosé, and this has been your Fantasy Minute.
Thank you, Max. This week's Fantasy Minute brought to you, as always, by the Batch Live app. Think you have what it takes to out-fantasy your favorite Batcher's Own pundits? Download the Batch Live app on your smartphone and join our exclusive league for free today. And if you're having fun playing along with us on the Batch Live app and you're thinking to yourself, man, I wish there was a way I could raise the stakes a little bit, right? Where I could make some prop bets on the action that's happening out there. Well, if that's you, then I'm really excited to tell you about our new partnership this season with the Goss app. That's G-O-S-S. The Goss app is the perfect app for bachelor lovers, for Golden Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, for all reality TV watchers, because it's just like sports betting, except it's for pop culture. You can make bets on what will happen on your favorite reality TV shows every week. Like, for example, you can bet on the over under of how many smooches Gary's going to have for the night, who he's going to give his roast to, who's the next person who's going to show up coming down the steps on Paradise. You can make all those bets on the Goss app, and it's completely free to play. And you win free prizes from popular beauty brands just by making correct predictions. So download the Goss app on your smartphone or mobile device and check out our content while you're there. And so now it's time to look at the senior citizen perspective of the action that's happening on Golden Bachelor. Here's your favorite family member, Aunt Mary, with the senior moment.
Aunt Mary sees the batch and wants to paint it gold. She's got the inside scoop on dating for the owl.
She sees the girls go by in all their zany clothes. Here comes the senior moment with your aunt, you know.
Hi, everybody. Aunt Mary here, your Bachelor Zone senior correspondent. I'm here to bring you this week's most senior moment. And this week had more senior moments than the PGA Champions Tour. First, we had the opening scene where the producers forced the Golden Girls up several flights of stairs and then onto top bunks. Frankly, this seemed a bit staged to me and maybe a little bit mean. Next was poor Gary driving at night. This was very relatable to anyone over 65. I really felt for the guy, and I'm glad he made it to that diner. But this week's winner is Natasha's credit roll comments asking for chairs in the rose ceremony. I'm going to miss that lively lady. And that's all for Aunt Mary this week. And remember, I'm aging like a fine box of wine.
Thank you so much, Aunt Mary. Keep an eye out for the senior moment all throughout our coverage of Golden Bachelor this year. We're going to take a quick break here. More Bachelor Zone coming up right after this. Ooh, look who's back. It's hockey season, and we're gearing up for some icy action. Before you hit the rink, make sure you look ready with the real MVP of the league, the Handyman by Manscaped. This dual-action foil shaver is your ultimate power play against unruly facial hair. It'll have your face as smooth as a freshly zambonied ice. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with our code ZONE and the number 3 at manscaped.com.
That's right. And you know, with that skin-safe technology, Wally, the Handyman ensures a comfortable and reduces nicks and also just helps for an overall grooming experience. And your boy, you can see on my face now, I usually do this podcast with just a whole bunch of little chunks of toilet paper all over my face. And now I'm finally clear and ready to go and hit that ice.
Yeah, your face definitely looks ice fresh. I want to say something not about the Handyman, but about another great Manscaped product is the Lawnmower 5.0.
Ooh. Yes.
And I, you know, recently got my Manscaped package in the mail, and me and my girlfriend busted it out, and it turns out Manscaped isn't just for men. You know, she took that and used it for her own grooming uses.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, absolutely rave reviews. So don't be fooled. It's not just for men.
Yeah.
It's for everyone.
Womanscaped.
Peoplescaped.
If it grows down below.
Yeah, personscaped. Let's do it.
It works great, too. So let me tell you this also. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ZONE3. Don't get denied goals this season and shave your pants pucks with the right tools for the job, Manscaped. That was all hockey references, by the way.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Goal!
Microdosing. What is it? You know, that just right feeling when your body and mind are really at peace, like after a workout or a nice long hot shower, where you're feeling relaxed, focused, and a little energized. Microdosing helps you get into that zone easier and stay there longer. And that's exactly where I want to be, especially since they really do taste and feel amazing. I mean, I've used them to help me get in that zone when I'm doing creative work at night, when I'm writing, even when I'm recording The Bachelor Zone late on the East Coast. They help me wind down, chill out, and sleep like a baby. All around, 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Rex all around with us here too, Michael Wally. Speaking of all around, Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code ZONE3 to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description. But again, that's microdose.com and code ZONE3.
Up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you this week by Classic Corvettes. We won't leave the light on for you. So, guys, a lot of great defensive play, both on Golden Bachelor and on Bachelor in Paradise. Before I ask for your picks, just a quick housekeeping note. We had a tiebreaker for Steal of the Night last week. The fans voted. You let us know how you feel. And it was Teresa with the champagne handoff right before Gary's speech, taking home our first Steal of the Night win of the season. How about for this week? Zach, let's start with you. Who gets your week 2 Steal of the Night?
You know,
it's tough.
It is tough. It is tough.
It's tough.
I don't want to. I hope that we don't have to stay in paradise as much as we are at the moment. But I think I got to give it to the fella who. I hate doing this. I'm doing it. Pilot Pete for doing just an old textbook steal. And then when getting denied, he just kind of lingered right underneath the rim and just sat there for the rebound.
And did a dance.
And did a dance. Was total asshole about it. But man, I missed that kind of
unnecessary dance.
Wildly unnecessary. Wildly, arguably ineffective. But you know what? I fucking love to see the fight in the dog like that. I love to see like a real old school steal. Just perpetrated in that disrespectful manner. I really enjoyed it.
I feel like we were playing Bachelor Ball. That guy thought he was playing Fortnite.
Yep. You know?
It was just yeah, he was hit the dance emoji. He was off
right.
the races.
Doing the running man. No, I thought it was a terrible night for him overall. Like in the long, like he wasn't playing long-term game, right? It was all short-term. He's just trying to survive the next 15 minutes. But what a way to do it.
That to me with Pilot B. Peter reminded me of March Madness when like a college's stud player makes a huge bat. And then they pan to the end of the bench where like the kid is 150 pounds and pimply face is like the 12th guy at the bench is like break dancing at the next to the water cooler.
Yeah.
But Pilot B. Peter here break dancing his way to Zachary Pike's vote for steal of the night for week 2. How about you, DA? Who you got?
It's tough.
Yeah.
I am anguished to make this decision.
Are you?
But actually, you know what? I really am because I initially, what I wrote down was I loved, as wholesome a moment as it was between Susan and Teresa, Susan doing her hair, which is the first almost like helpful steal I've ever seen. In my mind, I think to myself, maybe it was a setup. Maybe it was a conspiracy. Maybe Susan really did mean to curl her hair the other way.
Yeah.
And now it's in Teresa's head, and you know it's gonna fuck up her night.
That level of trust is crazy to me. Yeah,
absolutely. But I'm gonna choose to believe that wasn't her playing defense.
She looks beautiful. So like, even if it was, she looked defensive great, pressure, it didn't work very well.
Also, immediately went on the 101 in a convertible, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter at all. Another one that I wrote down for consideration was Natasha's dress steal.
Yeah.
Which absolutely felt like the first inkling of clubhouse dissent that we got from the entire episode. But after we talked it out at the beginning of the episode, of our episode, I'm going with Sandra's bunk bed take.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good move.
I think that was absolutely great. Use your age to your advantage. You talk about the knee replacements. You get your pick of the litter. What's anyone going to say? You know, like, oh no, you have to go to the top bunk person with, you know, who can't, no way. Use every advantage you get. And hopefully it serves her well.
Yeah. Natasha's dress deal is a great call out because that got into Leslie's head big time. I'm not sure why it did, because I think the leather jacket with only one woman on the motorcycle with you is a way better outcome than three other women in crazy 70s outfits, but Leslie was very much bothered by it. Sandra with the bunk bed steal. Also, Faith getting the solo bed away from Teresa, who's just was just behind her in the AP polls at the time. A lot of heads up play happened over there in Golden Bachelor Land. But for me, it's not that tough. I'm actually going to go over to the sand for this one. I'm looking at Aaron S., who is a very limited player on the offensive side of the ball. But his defense on Pilot B. Peter was superb last night. When Pilot B. Peter was breakdancing in front of him and being a dick and trying to disrupt the flow that he had going with Sam. And then Peter sitting down with Olivia and Aaron marches over and tries to pull him aside. And Peter says, no, it's going to have to wait. And then Aaron said, no, it's not going to wait. I can either pull you over there and do you a favor, or I can make a fool of you right now in front of this woman that you like. It's up to your call. It's up to you. I have never seen that done before. And honestly, I don't know why people don't do it more often. The way he bodied and just smacked him around like that. That was like Bad Boys Piston stuff right there. That was amazing.
Yeah, you know, that was what I was torn on. I wanted to give it to him, but it was just, I don't know. It felt tough because I just like how goofy the other one was.
For sure. Fair.
I do. Yeah, no.
That was real defense though, yeah.
Yeah, that was real defense. And what I love about Aaron's game is that he's kind of zeroed in on Sam and is just like, I'm man, you're woman, you're mom, you know, mm-hmm. like that's his territory. He's coming to play for her. And I love the aggressive nature of the play. There's, now that you brought up the Sam, there's one more I wanted to highlight for us to talk about.
Okay.
Because I think it's kind of interesting. There was a shadow steal that occurred on the beach. There is, you know,
like Billy Zane showed up? What are you talking about?
The unseen blade occurred by Eliza off camera, stole Aaron B away from Mercedes.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
What would you have?
Sure, no, sure. No,
It's a little, it's unclear what happened because Aaron B just said that he woke up and was feeling Eliza all of a sudden. He couldn't stop thinking about it. I don't know. Like, does the steal go to Cupid's arrow? Like, what exactly happened?
No,
I don't know.
Here's what I think. Yeah. Here's where I think the steal, where I want to give Eliza more credit for inventing maybe a new style of play or talking about a style of play that maybe we haven't ever discussed. And that's ignorance is bliss. And I don't actually know if Eliza wasn't aware of Mercedes and Aaron B. In fact, I find it hard to believe. It seems like anytime a smooch occurs on the beach, they ring the bell tower for that.
Yeah.
It gets around like wildfire, yeah.
For Eliza not to know, I think that is some willful ignorance.
Wow.
I think that is purposely sticking your head in the sand to keep your options open. Now, that's a little bit conspiratorial. I don't know if that's true. But if it is, I think I'm taking that and I'm coaching up my players and I'm saying that might be a good strategy going forward. Hmm. Maybe don't stay on the gossip blogs. Maybe play a game where your hands can always be clean. And then you open up your options.
That's a really good point because based on the circumstance, it seemed awfully convenient that Eliza, quote unquote, didn't know what was going on. And now that you mention it, there is some space to move around down there, but there's not that much space. And the way that gossip spreads and everyone gets the tea as soon as the kettle stops boiling, there's no way she didn't know.
Yeah. I you know what? You're speaking some wisdom.
It's about time by me, you know. I've just been saying bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking 3 years.
Yeah, no, it's good. About time. Better late than never. Broken clock twice a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we did it.
Maybe that's
so put
it.
That one
is,
in the poll
is that
too.
It? We did we save ourselves from having to do an Instagram poll where we break the tie? That'd be wonderful.
Oh, are you guys? Are we taking that one?
I'm okay with it.
I really like that point actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hell yeah.
The willful. The willful ignorance of Eliza, late nominee at the right before the buzzer coming in, winning Steal of the Night this week. Great night for her. Not a great night for everybody, though. We're going to be talking about that next as we hand out the keys to the city that nobody wants to go to in Mayor of Choketown. Mayor of Choketown this week brought to you by Decent Sized Yachts, a decent place for mediocre conversations. So, some great play last night, as we talked about, but there's also some poor play. Before we jump into it, we have a tie break from last week as well. We asked you who should win our Mayor of Choketown for opening night, and the final result went to Rachel for looking like she jumped the shark. How about for this week? DA, get us started here. Who gets your keys to the city for week 2?
It is tempting to give it to Rachel again. I just hate seeing her play, but I'm giving a... I don't have a mayor of Choketown for this one. I have, this is mayor by committee. I have a board of trustees. And that is for dropped smooches. Wow. I feel like so many contestants had opportunities with Gary, had great sets, had honestly better sets than we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. There was like 4 of them that we could talk about this episode that would have been, you know, an MVP level set in any other episode of Bachelor, except for one problem. It did not end in a trip to the smoocheria, which is a huge thing. And I could argue, or you could argue, that, you know what, again, that's all tactical. They want, you know, they want to delay it. They don't want to give it up too easy. They want to make Gary really work for it. But Gary seems to be the type of player right now who very much values his smooch in the standings. There's a little bit of RES-ness to him. It's a slower game, Golden Bachelor, But he is looking to make the smooch. He has made that clear. And for all of the, I mean, Ellen, Nancy, Faith, all of these power brokers all had big smooch opportunities, absolutely choked. I think it's the wrong play. I could eat my words next week. It could work out for them. But right now, I think it's a bad decision. I think they need to increase the speed of play a little bit if they want to win this game.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems like the senior PGA Tour kind of, in terms of red zone play, it leans toward pecs a little more than it does toward deep cut smooches. But Gary doesn't, he's not the mold, right? He's the kind of guy who loves the smoocheria. And when he digs in, it's a big momentum swing play. And it is kind of surprising that more women aren't picking up on that and going for it. Zach, how about you? Who gets your keys to the city for week two?
This one's tough. I wrote it down last night, at 4:13, that Will was going to get my merit choked down. I was calling it like Babe Ruth because of the way he opened up last night, being just so in the loser mentality out of the gate, like just, you know, making dumb moves. I thought week one, he didn't have a great week, obviously. He could be sitting pretty. He would have been fine. I mean, it worked out for him in the long run, but the way he did it, this sort of cry ball. And I want to preface this big time. Also, I don't even know if he's getting my full merit choked on. I just kind of want to hash this out really quick with you guys.
I want to talk about Will. Yeah, let's do it.
So first of all, my merit choked down is actually probably going to go to the whole Bonfire crew. But before I say that, I think it's okay for men to cry. I think it's a beautiful thing for men to be vulnerable. I think more men nowadays should be emotionally open and completely comfortable with saying how they feel, letting emotion out like crying. I cry pretty frequently as a guy. I think
absolutely,
it's a healthy, perfect thing, not just to do at movies. When you're feeling it, let it out. Let it out, fellas. With that said, Will was crying like a bitch last night. It was insane how much that guy just was falling apart. He's totally falling apart at the seams when it comes to just whether or not I think it's the yips. It's just a really intense version of the yips where he probably in his heart of hearts is getting really insecure and nervous. Rightfully so. He's in a nerve wracking situation. He's putting himself in nerve wracking situations, especially. But you can just tell he's not, I think it was falling in the pool and it's just gone downhill from there. Cause before that he seemed pretty poised when he was walking down the steps and he was talking to Olivia that first day and Kylie and all them, it seemed okay. After that one-on-one with Kylie and then everything that's unfolded this week, the man is just unraveling in a way that is going to be hard to recover from. And the kind of ball he did to sort of keep it going last night is not going to get him a rose next week. You know what I mean? Like we talked about it with Mercedes. I think she's genuine and being like, oh, look at this. He's such a sweet guy. She wasn't saying that in a way of like, I want this guy as a partner. She was saying that in a way of like, oh, that's a relief. I don't want this guy as a, you know what I mean? Like that's, I like what is happening here with you and your emotions. It's, I don't want to be with someone who cries every day like that. You know what I mean? Or who is this open. You know what I mean? There's a healthy amount of it. And then there's like someone who's actually going through some stuff that needs to get worked out a little bit. And I mean, I say this with love and compassion in my heart and saying it's okay, but not on the beach, like not in this situation.
My girlfriend absolutely roasted him.
It was
pretty pathetic. I'm with you 100%, Zach. But I do wonder, maybe there is something like this could be the type of move though that
if he ends up being the guy in the beach tuxedo at the end of the season, then yeah, fuck me, I'm wrong. And everyone should be this open all the time. But to me, it feels like it's going to backfire on him real bad. And I feel bad for the guy because I do actually kind of like him after this week.
Yeah, he seems like a really decent guy.
Yeah.
Totally. I think crying like this in the woe is me, it's the kind of move, it can maybe win you the night. It can get you a rose or two. But for a full 10-week season, you're exerting a lot of energy. I don't think he's going to have enough steam for a full 10-week season.
No, not at all. It's tough. And also, like last night, you're saying like, oh, it'll win you a rose. He was giving out the rose last night. You know what I mean?
Like, right,
but I know what you mean because it felt like he was the one asking for it. And the vibe he had, it was so, on his back. It's, oh man.
Well, here's, okay. Yeah.
And also, you're right. I didn't even think about the stamina of crying that much. It's like Shelley Duvall in The Shining, right? Like, eventually, it's exhausting to do 50 takes of just screaming and crying all the time.
Right.
Go on, Duddy. Sorry.
Well, what I was going to say is the one thing I'll say is that he has created a narrative for himself with Mercedes. She has become his savior. Yeah. Maybe he uses that to his advantage come next week.
I think
when you see, I mean, it's kind of lame too, because he's not saying, Mercedes, I love you, although now he is, but it's more of like a Jesus salvation type of love, you know, not like he's like, you picked me.
A wounded puppy.
I'm saved. Yeah.
But there you're my shoulder to cry on. That's the sign that you want, that you slap above the tunnel before you take the field.
Yeah. Just imagine him doing the same exact play next week and her being the one in control. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't see it working out for him. It's not like she chose it. Like, he could have given his rose to anybody. It wasn't his rose on the line, you know? Like, that rose was going somewhere. It wasn't like he was going home. If he didn't get, he can't be like, oh, none of these ladies talked to me tonight, so I'm going home. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he was there regardless.
I don't think he slaps on the tunnel, you're my shoulder to cry on. Mm-hmm. I think what he slaps on the tunnel is 100% devotion. I'm not leaving you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Mercedes, it's not a great play, but I think if Mercedes does get into rocky waters and she's not feeling any other connection on the beach, she can go back and say, well, at least I've got Will.
Yeah. But is that a game you want to play all season? Like, that's tough, man.
Same exact situation and problem he found himself in with Kylie, where Kylie said, if it doesn't, I'm gaga over Avon, but for some reason I hate this. Will always be there. Will always come crawling back to me. That's the corner he's put himself in.
That's such a sad place to be in. It's rough, you know. I have a hard time. With that said, my Maritotan goes to the bonfire, boys. It's just them shitting on their faces. I'm just kidding. No, it goes to Will. I'm sorry.
And actually, I'm going to piggyback off of that, Zach, because I'm going to exempt Mercedes and Aaron from this. I think that they went out there and competed in week two. Aside from that, the lack of competitive fire from this group is absolutely astounding, for one. And frankly, it's unacceptable. I mean, first of all, with Avon coming down the stairs, and as soon as he does, Will says, oh, fuck. And he says, when he's talking to Blake, the best case scenario is that Avon chooses Olivia and doesn't choose Kylie. And everybody else in the clubhouse is agreeing with him for thinking this, for basically having the same thought as a team that's like, oh, I hope that we don't get this seed, because then we'll have to play this powerhouse seed in the first round. And we don't want to have to play them right away. No, screw it. Go toe to toe with the guy. Compete.
Yeah.
Fight for the matchup that you want. If that's who you want, don't just surrender to him as soon as he comes down the stairs, just because he's Avon. And then, as we said, with Hannah B coming down the stairs and all of them, including Rachel, just went gaga over her and just fangirled out. Kat even went so far as to say, oh, man, if Hannah's here to compete, I would feel so validated and even honored if she stole Brayden away from me. What the fuck are you talking about? That's outrageous. This is how far we've come. This is how far we've sunk, that this is the mentality that almost every player in the clubhouse has right now. What happened to the days of Bird versus Magic and the bad boy Pistons of the 80s, where you wanted to tear your opponent's heart out and dig their grade for them? Those days are long gone. That it was when we first started covering Paradise. It was the primetime career pivot, right? It was the place that you wanted to go, maybe even more so than The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Now it's because of this that it's become the minor leagues. It's become the, oh, well, I didn't get it done on the primetime show, so now I'm gonna go to amateur hour.
Yeah.
And be stuck in the bush league. That's where we are right now. And I think the main reason for it is a mentality just like this that almost every single player on that stand has right now.
Are you giving your marriage choke down to cuckolds? Is this kind of what it sounds like?
Yeah.
A little bit.
In a word, yes. To the cuckolds of paradise.
We don't want to kick shame here on Bachelor Zone. If it's consensual, you do whatever you want to do. But yeah, I guess the cuckolds in this context is in competitive dating, cuckoldry is not condoned, according to the Bachelor Zone. I'd agree too. I never seen something as close to actual cuckoldry as we saw with Will and Aven. That felt and Kat, like, just being like, yeah, yeah, I'm okay with it. Just take my boyfriend. Take my girlfriend.
Oh yeah, please go ahead. It would be my honor that you, this golden goddess, is coming and taking my man.
Mazel tov.
What
sure
are we doing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's not the game we're here to play, but whatever. Have fun. I guess adults can be adults, whatever.
I'm with you. Something, you know, again, it is a tough I don't think anyone on the beach has had like a talent like Hannah Brown show up.
Yeah.
And know how to I think you're right. Like, I think this group, this crop, is light, right?
But like, so was last year. I feel like this is just the state of paradise.
Well, right. Like, I feel like, but they used to bring in like, this is a group of rookies.
Yeah.
This is a group of rookies and sophomores and no one with any, there's no big names on the beach except for Rachel, who, yes, I think Rachel really wilted. But I will say that when it comes to Instagram numbers, I looked it up over the break. Hannah Brown is 2.7 million. Mm-hmm. Rachel has 500K.
Yeah.
Kylie, who is like right now one of the power brokers in paradise, mm-hmm, has something like 30K. They are, in the way they look at it, they are ants.
They're in different leagues.
To Hannah Brown. Yeah. They are in a different league. But to your point, Wally, that doesn't excuse a lack of competitive fire. So what?
Right.
Someone has more Instagram followers than you. So what? Apollo Creed wants to fight you. Be Rocky.
Yeah.
Take the challenge.
At least try.
At least try. So I'm with you there. Deserving mayors.
Yeah. I guess mine kind of also folds into yours, Wally. So I'm going to go ahead and just say that we're all simpatico on this one, unanimous.
Cuckolds winning the day here on Mayor Joke Town.
Sympatry, sympatry in paradise
for
I guess.
Week two. The one exciting thing about Paradise from this week, though, is that the player intros and the theme song came out for the Almost Paradise song. Let's take a look at those clips that we got. Who's thriving, who's merely surviving, and who's driving on the 710 to Pasadena? It's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road this week brought to you by Rose Ceremony Chairs. Get let down while you sit down. Okay, guys, so we have the Almost Paradise song. We got our first taste of it this week, where each player does their pose for the camera with their name underneath. Let's go over these. Let's go over these player intros. We'll go from negative to positive, so we end on a positive note. What were some road intros that you guys saw? DA, let's start with you.
There were so many road intros.
Yeah.
I feel like there was just people turning around and just winking. I feel like...
I'd be happy to give all my roads to just all the Turner winks, like turn and wink people. There was like six of them.
Yeah, there was just so many... Freaking Kylie, I'm gonna give my road. I'm giving to Kylie, who basically did. She had like she threw her arm up in the air or something. It was like a half-ass attempt at a dance.
Mm-hmm.
But that dance though, it was the same dance that she did when they had that bad bitch energy date, and she came out of the door and she did that same. I think it was her dance from when she danced with the Charlotte Hornets.
Damn, so I'm wrong. All right. Rose then.
I don't know. Rose and then.
Yeah, no,
dancing.
That makes sense. Yeah, the context works.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. Road for everyone who just turned and winked like it was an 80s sitcom. Like that is the biggest, laziest, biggest cop out you could possibly do in that moment.
Yeah, there was a ton of that.
Yeah.
Truly a ton of that. Yeah. I also want to give honorable road mention to Jesse Palmer and Wells two-handed the burrito toss. That was last season. They just recycled their same bit from last season, which feels lazy to me.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
they honestly probably like, just the, found on, the guys. Same burrito out of the garbage from last summer and did it again.
Not even. I think it was literally just copy pasted from.
Or
last
just
season.
Repeat.
Like,
yeah.
We can't make it down. Yeah, we're gonna go over to. Yeah, we're gonna drive it. Me and Wellesley are gonna go. Look at the pyramids. Like we don't have time for this today. Yeah, those are my road too. I think I'm gonna go ahead and agree with Daddy on the turn and winks.
I also, Sean with the turnaround and doing like the speak no evil palm to his mouth, he just looked like a total tool. Yeah. So that was a road for me.
And, yeah, real bitch.
And also, I feel like with these intros, it's totally fine and maybe even a good thing to reference your past or some kind of calling card that you've had on the show in the past.
Yeah.
So long as it doesn't keep you stuck there and it doesn't keep you from elevating right. your game and taking the leap to the next level. So when Cat pulled out the claws again in the cat ears, Cat with a C, and Brooklyn was lassoing once again. And I'm just looking at this. I'm like, really, guys? Like, we're still doing this? They didn't get it. They didn't get the memo that it's time for them to pivot and show that there are other things on your repertoire and that there's more to you. They made the same mistake as that guy from Charity Season who just kept doing backflips on opening night to the point that Charity is like, wait a second, maybe that's all there is to him. I think I'm going to have him backflip out the door now to Pasadena. They made that same mistake.
100%.
How about a Rose play, Zach? Who did you like as right down the middle? Not spectacular, but got the job done.
You know, it should feel like people would be like, oh, what are you, these guys are flip-flopping, because it sounds, it seems similar to a turn and look, but just a straight look to camera kind of fun moment. I'm going to give it to Blake doing the little Safari Blake thing. I didn't realize that he's gotten really into sort of zoology and doing conservation work in his off time. I guess this is main time. That's like
right,
his main
yeah.
gig now.
And at least that had some personality.
Nonprofit.
That was a turn and some personality to it.
Yeah, he's like, I do this as a job. You know, it's kind of like one of the doctors doing like a stethoscope bit of business. But I thought it was, you know, it wasn't, didn't blow me away or anything. It wasn't not getting my ring, but I thought it was a good Rose play. Just like, yeah, that's what you do. It's what you're into. It's fun. You got a safari hat on, some binoculars, a little prop action, sitting in the jungle.
Yeah, felt appropriate. Yeah. Adds a layer onto him. I agree with that. DA, what was a Rose play for you?
I would say maybe Rachel showing her, you know, holding a rose.
Empty ring.
Yeah. At least it gave us something, but I think it further reminded us that she lost. She's a loser. Yeah.
Right.
So.
That's what I had it right on the road rose fringe, because on the one hand, she's being a good sport about it not working out for her in the past, but on the other hand, it felt like the edit controlling her, not her controlling the edit or the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's just succumbing to, I'm unlucky in love. It never works out for me down here. And here we go again.
Yeah. A lot of these were bad. I'm now clocking through all of them in my head. Like, I was like, most of them.
I can't give you a ring.
I'm almost there. I think I'm almost there also. Like, a lot of these. I think I'll give one out of just like kind of sportsmanship, but when I really think about it, like all of these felt phoned into me in some way or another. I have one pick that I kind of enjoyed the most out of the phoned inness because it was so out there.
Right.
But for the most part, no one made me giggle. No one made me haha.
I have two that I felt like were phenomenal. But first of all, for Rose, I'll say that Aaron S. coming out of the pool in a full suit. I don't understand the story that tells. I don't know why he did that. But it does show that he's able to make a fool of himself and laugh at himself and have some fun. So I think he gets some points for that.
Yeah.
Let me give you guys a couple ring nominees. First of all, Eliza doing the iconic Little Mermaid pose on the rock with the water splashing behind her. That is the every single woman in the world, I think, who has ever come across a rock on the beach has asked a friend to take a picture of them doing that pose. That is iconic. And she was doing it on the national stage under the big lights on Thursday night saying, I am that woman. I am that Little Mermaid type of princess down here. I loved that announcement from her.
Yeah.
What's your other one?
My other one is, so I see Mercedes floating in the pool on what at first I thought was one of those flamingo pool floaties. And I was like, oh, that's funny. That's charming enough. And then I took a closer look at it and I realized it wasn't a flamingo. It was a floaty of a pig. And she's a pig farmer in Iowa. And she actually brought a pig with her on opening night of her season of Bachelor when she first met Zach. And so I loved how it's simple enough. She's having fun. She's flashing a smile. But she's also, it's a nod to her past and where she came from. She's bringing her Iowa roots with her to the swimming pool.
That's pretty good, Wally.
I liked it too. I was today years old when I clocked that Mercedes is from Iowa.
Yeah.
Like I knew it. We talked about it before, but it totally just re-hit my brain.
No, that's why people should listen to this podcast. Yeah. I never, ever, as a casual viewer, would have known that. No, that's why we've got Michael Wally.
Yeah, like we definitely have talked about her being from Iowa during her season and like the whole thing. I just, this whole season, I was like, she was not from Iowa. Anyway.
That's our sweet spot, the superfluous reminders for Bachelor viewers.
Yeah, 100%. Those are good picks, Wally.
I don't know if I have a ring.
Yeah.
I have, I guess I appreciated Braden doing like a yoga pose as a nod to him being kooky. I felt like that was relevant.
Kooky, and also I've calmed down. I'm not the shit stirrer that I used to be. I'm looking to take the next leap.
He's rebranding hard with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. But no, I would say most of these. Zach, do you have one? I don't want to.
I do. And it's just because it was so kind of in the same way that you were saying Aaron S's pool dive thing. It just confused me, but in a fun way where I kind of almost chuckled was Aaron B tinkling the ivories on the beach. Like they had to wheel down like a prop piano for him to sit there and just do a turn.
Does
and look.
Does he play piano? Was that?
I think so.
So he
that's
did.
That's what I mean. It was just confusing.
He played piano when he first met Charity on opening night.
Right.
Never played it again. Never mentioned it again.
Which
and
I
now he's
like.
He's acting like he's like Billy Joel, like he's Mr.
He's
piano,
the piano Man. Yeah.
He like won't stop talking about it.
I kind of like it. Like I like the fact that he can just pull it out of his pocket, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I can tickle the average a little bit. I remember him being not great, but it's fun that he made some.
Well, yeah, at least he did fucking something. Unless he didn't just turn around.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just funny.
They have to make a requirement where you have to at least try. I guess I have an honorable mention to Kat that almost felt like funny where she was sunscreening herself,
right?
Spray sunscreening, and I guess the joke is, oh, my skin's so pale, but fucking like everyone.
No, that's because she's a dermatologist, and when she first met Zach, she said, "Would you like to SPF me?" And then handed him a bottle.
All right,
of
so this is why we have Wally.
Yeah,
so that's my ring.
I got
you back.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. She takes care of her skin.
Got I'm here to skin. Wrangle.
I wonder if body. Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, you guys are right. Not a lot of rings to hand out, but we always have plenty of rings to hand out to our wonderful fans. Thank you so much for tuning in every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. We'd love to have you join. Thank you so much for rating us, reviewing us, telling your friends about us, spread the word. There's a lot of Bachelor podcasts out there, and your support helps us move up in the ranks and become a better show. And we just love you for it. Very special thanks to Evelyn once again, our new patron over at patreon.com. For those of you that don't know, that's where you can get Left Unsaid. That's our exclusive bonus show where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. So that's patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. Also, we always love hearing from you on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. We are at BachelorZonePod. By email, we are TheBachelorZonePodcast@gmail.com. Get at us anytime with your thoughts, and we'll always get back to you quickly. And finally, the moment you've all been waiting for, the top five on the Batch Live app after week two. We've got a tie for fifth place. We've got Bachelor Nation and Perennial Powerhouse Zion. They've got 395 points. Number four, I think this is a newcomer. We got Sadie Ryan clocking in at 400 points. Number three, last season's champ, Dahlia Hawthorne. She's got 410. Number two, newcomer Vimp 3 is just ahead of Dahlia with 415. And number one, guys, this is a clinic that we're seeing over here with 505 points. 90 points ahead of second place. Hot Tubbies leading the way.
Hot
Unbelievable
tubby.
Run for Hot Tubbies so far. They sure are hot, but there's plenty of time left to play. So check us out over there on the Batch Live app if you want to follow along with our fantasy league. And for all your sports prop bets, reality TV prop bets, rather, go check out the Goss app, another one of our new friends over in the world of app downloads. Week three coming up. Gary's got a one-on-one date with Ellen. Paradise has got some new people coming down the stairs. We're going to have it all for you, and we can't wait to have you join us for that. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.